Welcome to the Dream Home Movement. This is your weekly dose of dream home inspiration, bringing you clever hacks and tips from the very best local experts with your hosts, Tara and Joe. Hello, welcome to the Dream Home Movement. I'm Joe Violetta and I'm joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Tara Vandelite. Now, I say my fabulous co-host, but tonight Tara is wearing a different hat. Tara is our special guest expert tonight.
I'm flexible.
She sure is. And what we are chatting about tonight is managing a project. And what I mean by that is managing a renovation project or a house flip or a building type project. So that is something that Tara has a heap of experience in, but it's something that I personally, and I know lots of my friends and clients and people that I speak to, don't have a lot of experience in. How do you actually manage a renovation project, for example? Like, how? Where do you start? How do you find trades, and how do you make sure that all the timelines are met and just sort of oversee the whole thing and make sure it runs smoothly? So today I am going to pick Tara's brain and we are going to unpack her process for project managing a big renovation, house flip, or build. Now, as always, we have our regular segments, we have the finance segment, and I say we have our regular segments, but usually we have a property geek out segment with Tara. But really, Tara, tonight's episode is just one huge property geek out, isn't it?
Yes, it's one intense, huge, big property geek out. Lots of property stuff talked about tonight. Take me home tonight. I just want to show you the truth. Light me up and make me feel all right. Because, baby, we are always shining.
Welcome to the Dream Home Movement. I'm Joe and I'm joined by my co-host Tara, who is also our special guest expert tonight. So it's all a bit exciting.
Yay!
Welcome to the studio, Tara. We're honoured to have you.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I have been here before.
Just a few times.
I have a favourite chair now.
You do. Yeah. No, but thank you for stepping into the guest expert spot tonight. It's a bit different, isn't it? Like, even though you're sort of here, well, you are here every week as the co-host, it's your show, but it's different to be the guest. So the spotlight is well and truly focused on you, my friend.
I must admit, being a guest is quite pleasant on our show.
It is. Mm. We treat our guests very well.
Yes. Thank you.
Now, we're talking about managing projects, renovation projects in particular, and building projects. Mm. And the reason that I suggested that we talk to you about this tonight is that you have a heap of experience in that area, years and years, and lots of different projects. And I think when you become really experienced at something, sometimes you sort of take your skill and expertise for granted. But for many of us, myself included, things that might be second nature to you, we're just not aware of. Like, if I think back to, remember our interview with the fabulous Kate Toon?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
I loved that interview.
Blown your mind, yes.
Yeah. And she's just renovated her kitchen.
That's correct.
And one of the things that she mentioned in her interview was one of the trickiest aspects was project managing the entire thing, knowing when to get tradespeople in, etc. And so that highlighted to me, okay, I'm not the only person who's not too sure how to project manage something like that. Mm-hmm. So let's just give a bit of an insight into why you are the right person for me to speak to about this. What sorts of projects have you managed, Tara?
Okay, so look, I started I guess I'll call it flipping property at about, it's been about 12 years now.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. So, I think I did my first renovation about 12 years ago. And it's pretty much just been a process of one property after the next. And At about 7 years ago, I started doing subdivisions as well and townhouse projects. I've done a big subdivision recently in Mount Eliza, and I've renovated the existing house. And I pick these projects to fit in with. It's a lifestyle as well as the dollars and cents. I'm looking to just. We've picked different houses at different times because of our family circumstance, and we look for things that are creative and inspire us and are going to offer us a beautiful home at the end of it. So I've done a big variety of things, so renovations, subdivisions, new builds, and I've sat as project manager on all these projects.
Okay, so quite a variety.
Yeah, and I do it on purpose because, you know, it's nice to mix it up and do something a bit different. And markets change as well. So, you know, at one time a certain type of subdivision would have made a lot of sense, whereas later on a renovation project might make more sense. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so lots of experience, a lot of variety. How long have you been so how long ago did you start?
About 12 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, just like everyone else, just renovating the home that I lived in.
Yep.
And then it was time to upgrade and I went to sell it, and I knew I was onto something because I had something like 50 groups come to that first open, and they were lined up down the street.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah. So I thought, oh, maybe I've got a bit of a skill here.
Yeah. Oh, you do. If anyone has seen Tara's recent completed project, you would know that she has quite a bit of a skill.
It's a beautiful mid-century house in Mount Eliza, and it was a really gorgeous house, that one.
Well, gorgeous bones. It wasn't gorgeous when you purchased it.
It was leaking and it was miserable. We do live like squatters a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as we create these beautiful houses, we don't get to live them in them the whole period of time. We have to put up with a lot of, you know, fun to get there.
The end result is just stunning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there some sort of method or process that you follow? Like after doing this for 12 years so many times, you must have some sort of system, even if you haven't named it or labelled it.
Yeah.
There must be some sort of process.
It's an interesting question, actually. So I'm very, very big on the dollars and cents side of things. Like I really want it to feasibility stack up so that, A, I can afford to complete the project and I haven't spent all my money. I can still afford a holiday or swap over a car or something like that. So I'm not the sort of person who wants to spend every last cent on my house.
Yes.
So feasibility-wise, that's where I start, and that's the most time I spend there. And I look at all these different scenarios. So I go to a lot of home opens and I see what's on the market.
Mm-hmm.
I look at what's selling.
Yes.
At what prices. So I find different – I look at different segments of the market and I say, okay, so townhouses are getting this sort of amount of money in this area and a different amount in a different area, and family homes are getting a certain amount in a certain area. So I look at the different segments of the market and I look at what the raw product, what price that's at. So the unrenovated product, or maybe it's a vacant block, I look at, you know, the raw product, and then I look at what it sells for at the other end, and I look at the cost it will take to get from one point to the other. So let's say it's a subdivision, I'm looking at all, you know, the costs in doing the subdivision, the town planning, any of the earthworks, la 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 la, you know, and building the houses and so on. Or let's say in a renovation, I'm looking at the unrenovated house and I'm looking at what the renovated house sells for, and I'm costing up what the renovation's going to cost as well.
Right, okay. So you're really crunching those
numbers. Yeah.
And anyone who listens to the show regularly would know that you are very big on that, on knowing your numbers.
Absolutely. Because I've got a huge responsibility. Huge responsibility. This is my whole family's everything.
Yeah.
So I can't afford to make a wrong move.
Mm.
So I've got to get it right. So, yeah, I spend a fair bit of time on that sort of feasibility. Once I've picked the right sort of project, I go and find the project to do. Then we buy it, and quite often we live in it for a period of time. You get the planning through, you get all the drawings drawn up, and then you start start the building process and costing that up. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. So there's a lot that goes into...
A lot that goes happens beforehand.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I've got a great relationship with your husband, Carl, and that's a big part of the picture as well, being able to afford the project, because quite often you need to lend some money to make it all happen.
Yes.
So there's quite a few phone calls to different people, like, for instance, to Carl, and I say to him, oh, look, you know, for this sort of project, what can I borrow with this sort of scenario and back and forward? And, yeah, because it can vary quite differently, like if you're buying a vacant block as opposed to a renovating house or a renovation house or, yeah, the different things, the lending criteria is a little bit different. So, yeah, it's always a back and forward conversation. It's never just straight line.
Yes, yeah, and especially, you know, here in Australia, lending criteria is tightening
and
up.
And it changes. Can I tell you, over the 12 years that I've been doing this, it has changed every single time we've gone to lend.
It's getting tighter and tighter, I know. Yeah. I've got the inside scoop on that.
And well, yes and no, because, like, I've been in there was a time when I was paying 7% interest at one stage. So it changes.
It does. But it changes. I'm saying that the criteria is tightening.
Yes.
It's harder to get a loan now. So what you might have been able to get 6 months ago, you might not be able to borrow now. So, yeah, that's why it is worthwhile.
The back and forward conversation.
But then to your point, well, okay, lending criteria might be tighter, but interest rates are lower than what they were, you know, when you started 12
Absolutely.
Years ago. So it's pros and cons. It's sort of, you know, it balances out. So before you even start building, you've got all these steps. You've got your research step. You've got finding the property.
It takes
you've
half
got
the time.
Yeah, getting your planning approved and getting your drawings done and everything. So who is part of that planning? Pre-build planning team. So you've mentioned your broker. Who else would be part of that planning team, do you think?
That's a really good question. So yeah, absolutely. So look, who's part of that pre-team? So always a broker. Quite often, it depends what you're building as well. So a building designer I'll often talk to or an architect. Quite often a town planner. I do have a really fabulous town planner, sometimes even a solicitor for whatever reason.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I'm a real estate agent, so I'm part of that picture as well.
Yes. So you need to speak to
if you don't have a real estate agent, if you're not one, it doesn't hurt to talk to them and say, look, you know, what's selling? What's happening?
Yeah. What have you got?
It's really hot. What can't you get enough of to sell?
Yes.
What sells quickly? Yeah.
Gee, that's a really good point because you only think of going to an agent when you're about to sell.
No, you should have.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you're into flipping properties or even if you're not necessarily a house flipper but you're just sort of carefully minded, you know that it's not your forever house.
Yes.
And you want to make sure that you don't invest in the wrong areas in that house, you definitely should have an ongoing relationship with a real estate agent because they're seeing those houses all day, every day. And they've got so many different ones to compare to, and they know the buyers, and they know the market really, really well.
They do, and they know what the buyers are excited about at the moment.
That's correct.
And so, if you're doing a flip, they might say, look, buyers, I don't know, I'm not a real estate agent.
We cannot get enough townhouses in Mornington,
Yeah.
you know, and the single level ones are really hot.
Yes, yes, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or buyers are going crazy for this particular bathtub or buyers are going crazy for this particular feature in a home at the moment, so you need to put that in.
Absolutely.
You need to cost that into your renovation.
And not all real estate agents understand that stuff.
Yeah.
So you've got to be a bit selective where you're getting advice from, to be honest. Really, you really want to talk to a real estate agent who really knows their stuff and they're really into property and they love property. They've got to love property. Yes. I've really got to love it, you know, because real estate industry attracts all sorts of people from all sorts of different backgrounds. Mm. So you really want someone who knows their mustard. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember the first time you walked into my house and you said, your house has an amazing northern aspect. And I didn't even know what that meant.
Oh, wow.
So for me now to know that,
yes,
if and when I go to sell my property.
You can work on that and you can ham it up. Like, you're not going to put blinds on that beautiful north window.
No,
you're not allowed to.
Highlight that. Yeah, so people walk in and they might not know what a northern aspect is either, but they might walk in and go, this feels good.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but this feels good.
I'm seeing like a fig leaf tree near your window.
You know I'm doing my garden, so I need to get you around to have a look and tell me what I need to do.
Done.
Okay, so we've spoken about sort of what happens pre-build. Mm. I think we might go to a break now.
Yes.
And when we come back, we're going to look at timelines, who you actually get in first, so which tradesperson you get in first. We're also going to talk about the skills that a good project manager needs, the tools. And I'm sorry, mate, I'm going to hit you with mistakes. I want to know what mistakes have you made? What mistakes do other people make, as well as your top tips? So that's everything that you've got to look forward to after the break. Stick with us. We'll be back very soon. Take me home tonight. I just want to show you. Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement. Part two of my interview with Tara. And we're talking about managing projects, dream home projects.
Dream home projects. Yeah. Get your project pumping.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So after you've done all of that planning sort of stuff.
It takes about almost the same amount of time as it takes to build, just about.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It really does take some time.
Yeah. That is huge.
But it's well invested.
So once you've done that, what's the next first thing that you would do?
Okay, well, it depends what you're doing. So let's say, are you going to use a builder? Are you going to own a build?
Mm.
Is it a custom build? Mm. Are you doing a project build? So I guess you've got to decide who's going to build it.
Yep, okay.
Okay, and then you have to either start interviewing builders. Mm-hmm. Or if it's yourself who's going to own a build, you got to get all your bits of paper in place.
Yes.
And, get it happening. So if you're doing a renovation, renovations are interesting because they're like two step forward, one step back sort of thing. So they're a little bit more bitsy, but let's say you're building a new house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, you get all your utilities in place, you know, your plumbing and your electricity into the right place, and then the slab gets poured, mm-hmm. and then you've got the frame, and then you rough it all in, and and then you start doing your cladding on the outside and your lock up, and then you do all your internal stuff. But usually when you're doing a project of that size, you'll probably be using a builder.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And I would say it's probably smart to use a builder, really, if you've never done something like that before.
Yeah.
I'd go as far as saying that.
I agree. And just sort of watch what they're doing and ask lots of questions.
Yeah.
And
I mean, look, some people do own a builder project like that, you know. And we see a lot of them on Grand Designs getting into trouble.
Okay, so you just mentioned that the actual planning phase takes about the same time as the actual building phase.
Ironically, it does. It really does.
So how do you figure out a timeline? Like, how do you kind of figure out roughly how long something is going to take? Let's so that we can be a bit more focused, let's use flipping a house as an example. So you've bought,
yes,
like you just did, maybe a mid-century house or with great bones that you want to renovate and then maybe sell again or renovate and live in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do you figure out, A, how long is this going to take in total? Like, how long do I need to allow for this to take in total after the planning phase? And then just sort of, like, how do you know how long each bit of it is going to take?
Oh, that's a good question, because it's sort of a long question. Because
can you figure that out?
Like, it just depends about the scope of the project. Like, if you're just doing carpets and a paint job, that's only going to take you a week or two, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're doing new kitchens, new cabinets everywhere, new bathrooms, that's when sort of things start blowing out. And then it's like, where do you stop? You might need a new roof, you might need a bit of landscaping as well. So it just depends on the scope of the project. So you will know that by that point, because you would have planned it. You would have said, okay, I've got this budget and this is what I'm going to get for that amount of money. I'm going to get, you know, a new paint job, and I'm going to get a new kitchen and I'm going to get these things. And once you've figured that out, then you can start looking at your timeline.
Yep, okay.
Okay. And so it's kind of interesting. So it's all a bit fluid.
Because I guess you've got to – excuse me for a moment. Sorry. I guess you've got to also factor in other
delays
outside
as well.
Yeah, and other just outside factors that aren't part of the build but will still affect – or the renovation or the project but will still affect the timeline, like are you going to be living in the place while you're renovating it? Do you have kids? What – are you going on any holiday? Like all that – I guess you've got to factor all that sort of stuff
in as well. Yeah, so, I mean, the luxury of using a builder is, you know, they will – have a specific timeline, and it's, you know, they might have their own delays and so forth, but they've got the time to dedicate to it. So that's a much more tangible thing. Now, if it's just yourself who's doing it, then, you know, you have to fit it in around your lifestyle. So you might be very caught up at work at one stage and it goes quiet for a bit, or maybe, you know, all your kids got viruses that week and you just can't, you know, really push it along that week. So it's all a little bit fluid, but it just depends what you want to get done. And also, particularly down here on the peninsula, some of these houses are really big.
Yeah.
Size matters.
Yeah, like four bedrooms and multiple living areas and all of that sort of thing. Yeah.
Size really matters when it comes to these sort of projects. Like, yeah, you could have, you know, a three-bedroom, one-bathroom house in an area like, let's say, Mornington, and that will take you a certain amount of time. Now, if you do the same thing on a big house in Mount Eliza with five bedrooms, two livings, two bathrooms, you know, on three-quarters of an acre block, now that's going to take you nearly double the time, really.
Yeah, because it's like double the house.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, thinking of timelines, how do you figure out who goes first?
Oh,
so
okay.
By that I mean, how do you figure out which tradesperson, for example, comes in first? So say you've bought a house, you want to renovate it, you've got you want to do the bathroom, the kitchen, and you want to paint the house and maybe replace some – maybe they've got daggy lights and you want to replace it with –
okay.
Down lights or something. How would you figure out which room you do first and which person you get in first?
Okay, so two things I really like to look after first, and that is the footings.
Yes.
Okay, that's what the house sits on.
Yep.
So you want that to be sorted.
Yep, yep. kind of important.
It's pretty important. Yep. So if it's on stumps, you want that all to be stable. Mm. If there's any issues with the slab, you want that all hunky-dory. And also the roof.
Yeah.
So you don't want water getting in and wrecking your lovely new work.
Yes.
So, if you're going to replace the roof, that's a great time to do it.
Okay.
Okay. So once you've got those two big things out the way, it's first of all your demo. So you remove anything that doesn't need to be there.
Right, yeah.
Okay, that's going. So that's a lot of fun. It's quite rewarding demolition, actually, because you see a big transformation very quickly.
Yes. Yeah, you would. Yeah, knocking out a wall.
Oh,
and
it feels good. It feels so nice to get rid of those walls. You're like, wow, I feel so productive. So there's demolition and then you frame it up.
Yep.
And then you do a rough in, which is all your like electricals and plumbing into place.
Yep. Okay.
And then, plasterboard, and then you start constructing the room. So you've roughed in all your electrical and your plumbing, and then you start, you know, installing vanities and doing your plaster and finishing the room off.
Yeah. So that's the sort of time. That's the sort of order that you want to follow.
Yep, start from scratch and rebuild.
Like that.
But you know what, Jo? If you're ever in doubt while you're doing a project like this, especially if you're doing a little bit of an owner builder thing yourself, maybe you just want to change over your kitchen, or you just want to do a bathroom, and you're thinking, oh, look, that's something I think I can handle. Okay. It's totally fine to pick up the phone and ask people.
Yeah.
And say to your plumber, hey, when do you want me in? They're not going to think you're stupid.
No.
They'd rather you actually ask them.
Than you get them in and be like, oh, you haven't got this thing done yet. Well, I can't come in. You wanted to demolish a wall. I can't do the plumbing until
the wall's there for you.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. So it's so fine to pick up the phone.
And
you
just
know?
Ask.
Absolutely. And, I mean, we do have a really great I've set up a Facebook group called Building Dreams Mornington Peninsula. You can ask the question there as well. In the middle of the night, in your pyjamas, without it disturbing everyone, you can just post a question on that Facebook group. There's plenty of renovating mums. There's plenty of builders, there's plenty of renovating dads, there's everyone in that group, and no question's a silly question.
Yeah.
No question's a silly question. And that's been the nicest thing about this whole 12-year process of building beautiful houses. It's time and time again, I'm impressed with how helpful people have been.
Yeah.
You know, they have just been so helpful. I remember back when we did our very first renovation, we were kids. we were so young and knew nothing. And I remember going to Bunnings and we wanted to patch up some plaster, and we weren't in a position to afford a plasterer. And there was a nice guy working at Bunnings, and he used to be a plasterer, and he spent like a good 20 minutes explaining and showing us in exactly how to do it. And he was just so happy to share his skill with us. And we went home and we did it.
Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah, and that it's happened time and time again. And that's partly why I set up the Building Dreams group is I think, you know, people in the building industry, they're artisans in their own rights. They're very creative people. They are very passionate about what they do. And they're so happy to help and share their skills, you know. So, if you're ever in a sort of position of where do I start, there's a group there for you. Post a question, get it happening. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and ask the question as well of the people you're hiring as well. That's totally fine.
That is fine.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of leads me on to my next question, which is about the skills that a good project manager needs to have. And one of them would be communication.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yes. You know, being willing and able to pick up the phone, talk to people, go back and forth when you have to.
Yes.
Be good at asking questions.
Yep.
What other skills do you think a good project manager needs to have?
Absolutely. The interpersonal skills are so very, very, very important. You also have to be very good at organising.
Yes.
I think you need a lot of energy.
Yeah.
You've got to keep pushing it on. So good interpersonal skills are absolutely important. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and ask the question. Can I tell you, I can almost predict when things are going to go wrong, and that's sort of when people stop talking to each other.
Right. Okay.
You know, when the communication starts to get quiet, you think, they don't really know what I need, do they?
No. Right.
So if in doubt, pick up the phone and ask. It's totally fine to text message as well.
Yeah.
Like you can leave a voice message and then text afterwards so that you don't get lost in, you know, the pile of whatever. So, good planning skills, good communication skills, and very good conflict management skills as well.
Right, okay.
Because you're dealing with a lot of different personalities.
That's true.
Your neighbours, sometimes the trades clash sometimes.
Yeah.
So you need to have really good, conflict management skills as well.
It's a real leadership position, isn't it?
It is a leadership position. It really is, actually, and it's kind of interesting because it's often, the housewife or, you know, mum who gets stuck with all these things, and you know, you're meant to somehow fit it into your life as if it's not happening, you know?
Yeah, it's a massive undertaking.
It's a huge undertaking. So I think you've got to give it that credit and that the space and say, okay, this year is about building my house and I'm going to allow the time to make this happen and have realistic expectations on myself while it's happening.
Yes.
Okay, and you say, look, this is what I'm going to do on, you know, Thursday nights, Saturdays and Monday mornings from now until it's complete.
Like it's a job.
It is. It is a job. It really is. It is. And, you know, it's so important too because it's your own personal wealth as well.
It is.
And it's what you're going to have to live in after the fact as well. So I can't tell you, it's a priority. You can't afford to just put it aside and think it's going to go away. It's not.
Yeah. No, it's serious stuff.
Yeah.
So we've spoken about skills. I want to talk about tools now. Ooh. I'm not talking about hammers and nails and that sort of thing. Mm. What sort of tools would you use when you're project managing? So, for example, do you use Google Docs to sort of keep track of everything or do you carry around when Carl and I got married, we got married. This is relevant, I promise you. We got married on a tropical island in the Philippines because he's from the Philippines originally.
Yep.
And so he spent the entire time walking around this tropical island with a clipboard. So he's in his boardies, his thongs,
like an official dude.
Yep, singlet and a clipboard, and because that was where he had all his wedding notes. And
his wedding notes.
Yeah, his notes for organising the wedding. So, you know, do you walk around with a clipboard or do you have a post-it note system? What tools do you use to organise everything?
So, look, everyone's different and, you know, some people you know, are really into systems, other people aren't. Me personally, I have a really good feasibility Excel spreadsheet, which is really great. So I often, when I'm looking at different properties and different scenarios, I'm putting into the feasibility and, you know, figuring out whether the project's going to stack up.
Yes.
I use that. What else do I use? God, I use so many different bits and pieces. So as far as running the project, I have an Excel sheet that has all the costs that I keep track of as I go.
Great.
I keep track of receipts through my emails.
Yes.
So I've got an email address set up where I send all my receipts to. I just take a photo with my phone and I send it there. It's a good tip that because, you know, obviously – you know, it's an email, so it's in the cloud and it's all, you know, safe. But on the other hand, it also has dates attached to it as well because you've sent it straight from your phone, so you know exactly when it's all happened and it's in chronological order. So that's really handy. So what else do I do? Oh, God, there's so many little bits and pieces. I'm trying to think of them all at once.
I know that you, because you've got a new project happening.
I do.
And
I've been a bit naughty with this one.
Well, I've heard that you've been seen cruising around with an exercise book.
I have.
Like this special notepad.
I have. So this time I do have a notepad. So with other projects, I've lived on my computer a little bit more, but this project's sort of come out of the blue. And so I'm doing a renovation and I'm trying to do it as quickly as possible before we move into it this time, because in the past I've lived in houses while I'm renovating. This is a very nice luxury, actually, not living on site.
Okay.
It's really good.
That's
actually
great.
Oh, it's fabulous.
It's different.
It's so nice and so much more productive. Anyway, so yes, this time I have an exercise book. It's got lines in it. It's got a spiral. And I'm pretty much keeping track of a lot of things in that book as I go. And it's really handy because I've got measurements of certain things in that book. So when I'm out shopping for various things, I can refer back to that book and I say, oh, okay, yeah, I know that opening's this big and I know this room's that size. So, yeah, the couch I want or the, you know, the piece for the fireplace is going to fit.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Now, another
sorry to interrupt, but I just have to hover on that point for a minute because that is a great idea, is to have all those measurements in one place.
The other thing that's really great to walk around with is samples, like let's say you've chosen stone or mm-hmm. you've chosen a colour, a swatch of a colour.
Yes.
Just keep them in your handbag. I've used to carry around this like lunch container with all the little swatches. Like,
oh, I love
so
it.
I had like the stone and a bit of all the different colours and bits and pieces so that you've got it there in your bag, and if you for whatever reason see a light fitting that you think is going to work, you've got it all there and you can, you know.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Why not? Save time.
I love that, carrying swatches in your handbag.
Of course. Yeah. You know, and that's another trick. I always have a measuring tape in my handbag.
Great.
Without fail, because even like when I'm shopping, there might not be a measurement for something written on a tag, and it's just easy to get the tape measure out.
Just to measure it yourself.
Just do it.
Okay. What about mistakes? What are some of the biggest mistakes that either you've made or you see people making when it comes to project managing a renovation or build?
Oh, so many things can go wrong.
Yeah.
I tell you what the most painful thing is, when you throw things in the skip that you then realise you're going to need.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
That hurts. So throwing out something that you should have kept.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not even you, because there'll be a few people working on your project and, you know, one person didn't understand that that had to be kept aside.
Now
what I do is like I'll pick whatever up it is and I'll go hide it the other end of the house or whatever. I'll make sure that it doesn't end up in that skip. What mistakes? Look, sometimes I think there's so many little bits and pieces. What can I say? Personality-wise, I'm very careful who I pick now. I think I can almost tell from three steps away whether they're going to work out or not.
Yeah, because they're going to be in your home and it's a big sort of relationship.
Yeah, I've got an awesome group of tradespeople that I work with now. I know their personalities, so I don't want anyone ruining our vibe, you know.
No, you got your little crew happening.
I got my clique, I have like hired the wrong people in the past. I have had to tell people to leave my site, and I have been mucked around. I mean, everyone has. It's just part and parcel. What's other mistakes? Other mistakes is just not asking questions, really, you know.
Yeah.
Just keep asking those questions if you're unsure. The other thing is quite often the biggest mistakes are like with the design and the material choices.
Okay.
Yeah. So like for instance, you know, you might design something a certain way, you think, oh God, I'll never do that again. Like that's just not smart. Also, what else? When it's material choices, I think we all get stung every now and again by just a bad, bad material. Like, for instance, I remember there was a townhouse I did, and LED lights were sort of brand new back then, and I put halogen in the staircase and they got so hot.
The
kids literally were going to burn their hands.
Right, okay.
Things like that.
It's stuff you just wouldn't have known otherwise.
That wasn't
fun. And that's again where your group would come in handy, because these days you could just jump on the group and go, look, I'm thinking of buying halogen lights for the staircase.
What do you think?
Yeah.
That's right.
And then someone would get on there and go, no, they get really hot, and you'd be like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I know not to do that.
You will get other people who've installed them who will tell you. You'll even get Sparky's answer that question for you in that group, and it's really so handy. So, yeah, hopefully, Building Dreams, Mornington Peninsula, that will hopefully save you a few headaches there.
Also, so we've covered so much in this interview as far as tips and advice, like so many golden nuggets.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice.
We could make probably 100 little info memes out of this interview. I'm telling you, there's so much in it. I hope that that you listening have grabbed a pen and paper. I should have said that at the start of the interview and scribbled
an
notes.
An exercise book.
Furiously, an exercise book. Are there any other tips that you would have for people that are looking at project managing their own?
Just have a positive disposition about the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, like just get in there and just enjoy it. To be able to do something like that's a real privilege, you know.
Yeah.
Like you're building your dreams yourself.
Yeah.
Love every minute of it, you know. You've waited for this. So, just be happy about it and take it. Just accept from the outset it's Okay, this is what it is. It's 3 steps forward, 2 steps back.
Yep.
Okay, you're still moving forward. You're still pushing ahead. Okay, you will get there.
Yeah.
You will get there.
You will.
But don't get too caught up in the setbacks. Just keep going.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm.
I like that. And the question that we ask all of our guests is, what does the phrase dream home mean to you?
Oh, well, this is a great question, and it's interesting to get it back. But for me, to live in one house is almost a ball and chain. I mm-hmm. just love creating beautiful houses.
Yeah.
So that's what dream home means to me, is a creative project. I just love it, okay. You know. So I don't want to be in one house. I want to try all sorts of different houses and do all sorts of cool things with them. But I tell you what my sort of dream home is, and that is actually the Mornington Peninsula.
Yeah.
That is where I belong. I have found my place in the world. It is so beautiful down this end of the world. I live in Mount Eliza. I love every minute of it. But the whole peninsula is gorgeous. And that is my dream home, really. And I'm going to stay.
I love that. Yep. We're not losing you.
Yeah.
Yep. We're going to keep you. Absolutely.
I might move houses, but I'm not moving the community.
Oh, that's good. Mornington Peninsula is a really beautiful community. Oh. Now, we've mentioned that we can chat with you in the Building Dreams Mornington Peninsula group on Facebook. Right. But where else can people find you or follow you, get in touch with you, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Well, I have a new job at Janice Dunn's Estate Agent.
Oh, congratulations, yay, mate. That's so exciting.
I'm just loving every minute of it. So if you want an appraisal, you can find me at Janice Dunn's Estate Agents. We are in Frankston South. So we service Frankston South and Mount Eliza and Frankston as well. So Janice Dunn's Estate Agents, you can find us that way. We're on Facebook, we're on the internet, we're on everything. We're on Insta. Also, if you like watching crazy renovating adventures.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? I'm on Instagram as well. So if you look up Building Dreams Group, you can follow me on Instagram. I do a lot of Insta stories about my renovating and building adventures. And, of course, yes, on Facebook, Building Dreams Mornington Peninsula, join our group.
Very good. Well, I feel so goofy saying this. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jo.
You did a great job, though. Wonderful guest. I've been wanting to have this chat with you. Aww. I can't believe it's actually taken us.
I know. Why didn't we think of this before? This is great.
Like 11 months or 10 months to have this have this chat. We have too many amazing guests.
Yes, absolutely. So
we had to really carve a spot out in the schedule to have this discussion, but I'm really glad that we did. So thank you so much for being so generous with all of your information.
Oh, thank you, Dylan.
We are going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to chat to Carl for the finance segment. Take me home
tonight. I just want to show you. Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement, one of my favourite segments of the night, which is finance. Hello, Carl.
Hello, Tara. How are you doing tonight?
Really, really good. Hey, timely that we're speaking to you, because we were talking about managing projects, and getting finance is a pretty big deal. So you know that I've had several conversations with you over the years about, you know, how can I get some money for what I need?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, because lending criteria has it's gotten a bit tighter lately, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has become tighter. I suppose the APRA, which is part of the government, has done some micro managing of the banks and how they lend money to customers. Mm-hmm. And I think they firstly targeted investors.
Yes.
And so they've made it really sort of tougher on investors to access more funding so that they can buy more properties.
Yes.
I suppose the government's really just a bit, they're just putting some mechanisms in place so that we don't really experience the same problems that the US had with their housing, and same with certain parts of Europe.
Yeah.
So in a way, it is a positive thing, because they are trying to protect our housing economy, for a lack of a better term, tonight. And then the next target that they were doing is the mums and dads that are looking to, you know, to get more lending for their owner-occupied home loans. I think in the past we mentioned about living expenses. You know, it's very much based on the income that the family gets. That is under review, however, it's still in place, and it's called the HEM living expenses. And so basically, if based on the income from the application, the bank, that whoever, you know, you apply a loan through, has a calculation on what your income should be. So, and because they made adjustment to that HEM living expenses, it has lowered the maximum borrowing potentials for customers.
Okay, so are you saying that the banks now are sort of looking as if our living expenses are more?
Yeah, they are. I mean, you could you know, put on paper that your living expenses is X amount per month. However, to the banks, when you submit the loan based on your income, they regard your living expenses to be at this benchmark. However, if your living expenses on paper is higher than the benchmark, then they'll use your living expenses. But if it's lower, then they'll use their benchmark.
Okay, so so the benchmark that once existed is actually stricter now. So that's
And overall,
probably more realistic, hey? Because the benchmark overall, was probably a bit too lenient once upon a time.
Oh look, I think it was. You know, there's a bank that will just take your living expenses, no questions asked. And then now that particular bank would probably want to see a copy of your bank statements now, just to verify that what you're actually saying as living expenses is actually true.
So it's not just about what you earn, it's also about what you spend.
Yeah, exactly right.
And how much money you have left over after all that to pay the mortgage.
It's all part of their responsible lending, and you know, they're really, really cracking down on that. They just want to make sure that customers don't get themselves into trouble, don't get themselves into mortgage stress. And, yeah, so everyone's sort of protected in a way.
Very good. But, well, that was really, really informative, Carl. So if we want to find you and ask some questions, if we're planning our project and want to make sure that we can still lend what we had intended to lend, how do we find you? Where can we get you?
Oh, look, I love receiving sort of scenarios from customers, and the best way to do that is they can either give me a call or send me an email. All our details are on our website, which is Violetta1T, finance.com.au, or on social media like Facebook or Instagram, you know, Violetta Finance, and then they can shoot us a message through those medium as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Carl. We'll see you next week.
Take care of yourself.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, well, I suppose that gives us a little bit of hope in a way that although the lending criteria has tightened, it's still possible, and it's just maybe more realistic.
Yeah, just talk to your broker.
Yeah.
Have a chat with Carl sooner rather than later.
Yeah, or your broker.
Don't get caught out.
Yeah, don't get caught out. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. I had a lot of fun with you tonight, Tara.
Oh, thanks, Jo. It was great.
It's kind of different, just us two in the studio. Know. But, yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. Hey, I want to give a quick shout-out to everyone listening in Mount Eliza. They are our biggest listening suburb this week. So those stats are from the podcast.
Fantastic.
So thank you. That's your hometown.
It is.
So thank you to everyone listening in Mount Eliza. Thank you for tuning in and joining us every week. We really appreciate it. And we wish you all the best on your own dream home projects. You can find us at Dream Home Movement on Facebook and Instagram. And we look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Bye.
Bye. Take me home tonight.
Welcome to the Dream Home Movement. This is your weekly dose of Dream Home.
Oh, it's not welcome. It's goodbye. Sorry, everyone. It's supposed to be the goodbye message. Bye, everyone. Have a good week.